This is the Quality News Network, the largest evacuation in California's history, taking place across seven southern counties. Devastating brush fires have forced at least a half million people from their homes. The fires have burned 640 square miles, or about 410,000 acres. Nearly 9,000 firefighters are battling those blazes. In Washington today, President Bush signed a major disaster declaration for Southern California. He'll visit the region tomorrow. The brush fires have so far caused an estimated $1 billion in damage in San Diego County alone. As many as five people have been killed because of the fires. At least 24 people have been injured, most of them firefighters. At least 1,500 homes have been destroyed. Los Angeles Times reports that a suspected arsonist was shot and killed last night, located by authorities in a remote, brushy area. The suspect reportedly crashed his car into police vehicles before the officers fired their weapons. The shooting, though, is under investigation. Military sources in Ankara say the Turkish Air Force and ground troops have conducted several raids into northern Iraq since Sunday. 34 Kurdish separatists were killed in those attacks. Two bombs exploded in a marketplace today on the outskirts of Baghdad. At least eight people, including children, were killed. Another 25 were wounded. Over the next decade, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could cost up to an estimated $2.4 trillion. That's according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The White House calls the estimate, quote, speculative. So far, the U.S. has spent more than $600 billion on both wars. South Korea says North Korea will begin dismantling its nuclear weaponry program by the middle of next month. In exchange, Pyongyang will receive 1 million tons of oil plus international political aid. Protests being held today in front of Chinese embassies in 12 major cities to commemorate the arrest exactly 12 years ago of Myanmar's Nobel Peace Prize winner, Aung San Suu Kyi. The Senate Homeland Security Committee today will discuss the federal government terrorist watch list, which has grown to more than 755,000 names, quadrupling since the year 2004. And French lawmakers have joined other European nations instituting voluntary DNA tests of immigrants seeking to join their families. You're listening to the Quality News Network, a check of science and business news next.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, we must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light. This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Testing all new patients for a staph superbug before hospitalization could cut down on a stubborn germ that likely kills more Americans than AIDS, according to a new study. An estimated 1.7 million Americans develop infections each year from various germs, and 100,000 of them die. The superbug is responsible for about 10% of those fatalities. The Space Shuttle Discovery arrives at the International Space Station tomorrow, the vessel carrying equipment to connect Japanese and European labs to the station's main hub. It is considered the most complex mission undertaken in almost a decade. China launched its first lunar orbiter today. The space crew's year-long expedition is the first step in a program meant to land an unmanned moon rover by 2012 and a manned mission by 2020. U.S. bankruptcy filings have surged 23% from this time last year. That, according to the American Bankruptcy Institute, the increase includes both individuals and businesses. Merrill Lynch today adding $2.5 billion to the $5 billion it has already announced as quarterly write-downs. Light sweet crude oil trading at $87.10 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's up $1.83. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average off 1 point at 13,675, NASDAQ down 24.5 points, S&P 500 down 4. There's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are in the middle of the week, and before I say something really rude like Robert C. Byrd is a real prick, let's stop and have a moment of pure, unmitigated, self-congratulatory pleasure. Darn straight. God knows we need some of that, right? Real pleasure, because this isn't just any day, and it is certainly fortuitous that it falls on a prayer meeting Wednesday, but, Fred and Barney said it best.
Oh, happy anniversary for a cheerful toast and fill it. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. It is, in fact, our birthday. The horn, 2 years old, this very instant. Okay, it's about an hour because at first we started out at 7 o'clock. But the first program on the horn, to wit, this one, premiered in the current incarnation of the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, 2 years ago this evening. And you know what? I'm so proud I could bust. I really, really am. When I look back and I think of all the hard work that goes into making all of this happen, Lord, Lord, Lord. So let's do a quick review of the people who make the horn so special. Let's do a quick review of the people who pour out their heart, their mind, their talent, their sweat, their energy, their hours and hours and hours and hours of labor. Let's talk about Guy James. Let's talk about John Fox. Let's talk about Mark Levine. Let's talk about Joe Vecchio. Let's talk about Billy Shears, music director of the horn. Let's talk about Bruce Birch, who was there in the beginning. Let's talk about our moderators in the chat room, the indefatigable ELO, Lottie. Let's talk about our news ninjas, the Frozen Soul, Trouble. Let's talk about Texas Betsy, our blogger. Let's talk about the Horn Den Mother, Agnes. Let's talk about the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Let's talk about a guy who with a gentle kick to the side of the case can make computers literally leap in the air and do tricks. Let's talk about Peter Godbold. Let's talk about something amazing. And let's talk about you, who, with finite time on this planet, choose to share some portion of that with one or all of us every day or some days. Let us talk about a remarkable, remarkable community. Let's talk about the little miracles that are born not of divine intervention, but of sweat and long hours and dedication. You know, I think it was Thomas Edison who said, "I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." If that is the case, then the community that is the Horn is the luckiest organization on planet Earth. Let's talk about Wayne. Let's talk about the man who had the vision to make this all happen. None of this, not one second of this, happens without Wayne. Let's talk about the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, who made it possible for us to get started. Let's talk about the people who contribute of the money they make to make the Horn go. Let's talk about all the guests who have given of their time to help advance common sense and progressive ideals and values on these programs, from Mark's to mine to Peter's to Joe's to John's. I'm still waiting. You know, we're at the front end of the technology. Maybe by the time the Horn is having its 20th anniversary, we'll be able to, I don't know, cyber transport a piece of cake to everybody, or a cookie with a candle on it, or a cupcake. But if you're somebody who is okay or whatever with cracking your favorite malt beverage or some bubbly, give yourself a toast this evening. Give yourself a toast. If you're not into that, or if you're too young for that, some of that Welch's sparkling grape juice will do nicely. Or maybe a glass of Clamato. I don't care how you celebrate, but you have a right to celebrate this evening. Because you have made something utterly astonishing happen. And I would not by comparison denigrate any other organization, but the fact of the matter is we are doing what others have taken as much as $80,000 a day to do. Yeah, you can do that too, Lottie. Although when I roll a bud, it gets all foamy, and when I get the cap off, it just shoots all over the room. You know, it's kind of like the time I tried snorting coke. I almost drowned. But other organizations are still trying to figure out how to do what we're doing. And they're struggling and struggling and struggling for money. We've got the secret here. All it takes is selfless dedication and hard work. All it takes is a willingness to put this first always. All it takes is a relentless commitment to facts and to truth. All it takes is the passion of thousands of people determined to take the media and the First Amendment back from the martini-swilling hacks of the mainstream media. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. All it takes is you. You've proven that night after night, day after day. And words fail me when I try to convey to you what an honor it is for me. What a privilege it is for me to be associated with each and every one of you via your participation in the chat room, your comments on the now more or less moribund message boards, your phone calls, some that you make at your own cost in order to save us a little bit of money. Your emails. Some of you email a lot. Some of you, I only hear from you once in a very long while. And you know, we've got enough of a community that we actually fret when we don't hear from some of you. I am honored beyond expression to be associated with you. And I will remain in such association as long as there is breath in me and a voice in my throat and the energy to do all of this with, because I am forever in your debt. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And of course, you know, it is Wednesday, and you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn straight. The fact of the matter is, though, we may not get to a single churchy, right-wing, religious, freak, extremist story. We may not. Because we are beset by cowards. We are beset by mugwumps. We are beset by turncoats. We are beset by traitors. We are beset by people who loathe this nation. We are surrounded on all sides. And who was it? Was it Marshall Foch in the First World War who said, "The enemy is in my front, the enemy is on my left, the enemy is on my right, the enemy is in my rear, I attack." That's where we have to come from tonight. And, you know, it grieves me sitting here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia. I will tell you, it honestly grieves me to be so thoroughly and repeatedly let down by my elected representatives. And I care very little for what anyone else may say to me, for what I am about to say. But I am so done with Robert C. Byrd. Now, bear in mind, if you show up at a Democratic Party event in the state of West Virginia, the man has achieved something nigh unto God status. I guess just, you know, it's a matter of showing up is half the game, and he's shown up for a lot of years. But today, Robert C. Byrd cast a vote on the floor of the United States Senate in favor of bringing the word nigger back to the American body politic. He just did. That's all. I remember how irritated I used to get. I remember how infuriated I used to get that every time Robert C. Byrd would do something right, there would be some right-wing gooberhead on the radio somewhere in this state saying, "Did you know Robert Byrd was a Klansman?" And no matter how many times we stepped up to defend him and said, "Look, you know, yeah, he was in the Klan. A whole bunch of West Virginians were in the Klan. I told you last week, my grandfather was in the Klan." Am I a racist? I dare you to call me one. Because I'm not. Because that word I said a few minutes ago is the most loathsome word, I think, in the English language, because it is freighted with so much vitriol, so much poison, and so much hate, that there should be no place in it in the American cultural psyche or social structure, whatever. But today, Senator Robert C. Byrd and a handful of other disgusting, belly-wallowing, mugwump, scum-sucking Democrats voted to bring nigger back into the American parlance. They voted for nooses hanging from trees and doorknobs and tucked away in the sea bags of Coast Guard sailors. They voted for nooses attached to the doors of professors at Columbia University. They voted for whites-only trees. In a word, they voted to confirm a piece of human filth named Leslie Southwick to the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. A circuit court of appeals that sits in the heart o' Dixie and cannot but by definition be from time to time intimately associated with questions of race and civil rights. Robert C. Byrd voted to confirm Leslie Southwick. Now, we didn't get a press release this time saying that he'd received thousands of letters from West Virginians who couldn't possibly know each other, but he knew that they were real letters because they had little coffee cup rings and donut stains on the paper. We didn't get one of those like we got from him when he voted to confirm Samuel Alito to the highest court in the land. No. He just voted to confirm to the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Leslie Southwick, who authored an opinion while on the Mississippi bench saying that it was okay for one human being to call another human being a nigger in the workplace and get away with it. Southwick voted to return that person to their job from which they should have been fired and permanently banned. He also authored an opinion in the course of taking away a lesbian's daughter, in which he said to that woman, "Your sexual preference is a lifestyle choice, and your choice has consequences, and we, by God, are going to take your baby away from you because you're gay." Let's do the roll call, shall we? Do let's. Voting in favor of the confirmation of Judge Leslie Southwick, Akaka, Democrat, Hawaii. Byrd, Democrat, West Virginia. Lincoln, Democrat, Arkansas. Johnson, Democrat, South Dakota. Feinstein, Democrat, California, the Judas goat witch that let the SOB out of committee, Feinstein. Dorgan, Democrat, North Dakota. Nelson, Democrat, Nebraska. Pryor, Democrat, Arkansas. And of course, Lieberman, Independent, Connecticut. Lieberman, a man of the Jewish faith, the Jewish race, the Jewish persuasion, who couldn't be bothered to honor the young Jewish people buried in an earthen dam in the Mississippi that Judge Leslie Southwick wants to see rise again. Not voting. Boxer, Democrat, California. Dodd, Democrat, Connecticut. Kennedy, Democrat, Massachusetts. Evil walks this land, and it goes by the name of Byrd, and it goes by the name of Akaka, and Nelson, and Pryor, and Lincoln, and all the other belly-wallowing, butt-kissing, mug-wump, terrified, gutless, spineless, soulless, heartless, motherless, godless pigs who voted for Judge Leslie Southwick today. We're supposed to be very proud of Robert Byrd in this state because Robert Byrd has brought us lots of money. Woo-wee! But there are stand-and-be-counted moments in a person's life. Senator Byrd has been called on twice with those moments, and twice he has failed. And for me, his memory will forever be that of a man who kowtowed to extremists. His memory for me now is the man who helped confirm an unrepentant racist to the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. When that word becomes more prevalent or makes a return to prevalence in Southern culture and in our national culture, we can look to Senator Byrd and say, thank you, Grand Kliegel. Thank you. Let's see if there are people on the phone lines. Who have I got?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Oh, well, then Germany's calling.
Oh. Willkommen.
Congratulations. I couldn't resist.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Angelica. I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. Well, you did it. 2 years, Bob. My God. And it was just a year ago I congratulated you for the first anniversary. I remember that.
Indeed. And, so, you know, hopefully you'll be around for the third one, too.
Oh, I intend to. I intend to. It just seemed like yesterday, doesn't it? So, anyway, I'm real happy to hear that. And I saw Susan blog it, and so I said, well, and I heard you on the air. And but now what you're saying, you know, about Byrd and all this, you know, why, I don't get that. Why would they, I didn't know this. So why are you springing stuff like that? Is that really true? They're actually making it okay to slander people
this judge, Angelica, patently, I don't mean, you know, you could sort of maybe say that, you know, you could interpret it that way. This man authored an opinion when he was on the bench in Mississippi that gave a man his job back after he had been fired for calling a coworker a nigger.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, he sanctioned racism then, basically.
Yes.
That's what it is. I'm sorry to hear that. I thought the 60s were over. I really did. But apparently not.
Apparently it's a swinging pendulum, Angelica.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
It is extremely sad because...
Yeah.
It guarantees that we are not going forward, we are going backwards. That man, and let's understand something, that man, Judge Leslie Southwick, has a lifetime appointment to the bench. He will be there until that day when he breathes out and does not breathe in again.
So his legislation then affects people of what area then? Over the country then, basically?
Well, his court rulings have jurisdiction. He will sit in judgment of appeals of cases in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and I believe Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, why am I not surprised? I'm just not terribly surprised then, you know, from what I've been hearing people say and comment, and not much has changed in that area. So, from what I understand, they're still... I haven't convicted everyone from this hate crime that happened in the 60s, right, when they were killing. They killed a bunch of teenagers, black teenagers and white ones, too, right?
Yes, and they're still chasing them down. They convicted another one of them, a 70- or 80-year-old, just a month or so ago.
And they're still unsure, you know, and treating him with kid gloves, from what I understand, is, well, should we know, and did he really do something so bad? People are still unsure about, you know, about the heinousness of this crime, you know. Imagine that. How, you know, without that, how are these people ever supposed to heal and come to grips with ever, you know, having done anything wrong? And if it's not instilled to them by their legislators or by their society, or you know, if no penance or repentance,
mm-hmm,
or no regrets, you know, then it's going to go on and on, this kind of hate, you know. That's my feeling on it, unless, you know, people will actually say, well, yes, you know, it is wrong, everybody, even the ones involved, is it's wrong, we did wrong, and we should change it and mean it too, and not just do lip service, but really, really mean it, you know. And
how can Angelica? How can this man sit in judgment, for instance, of any criminal case involving an African American, when we know that he thinks of that person in those terms?
Yeah, because he will already think he's guilty just by the fact that he's black.
Sure.
You know. And so, no, there won't be any justice. As you know, there's so little justice as it is now, because there are already way too many, proportionally, black people in jail, and you know, and really punished heavily, you know, and disproportionately heavily for what they have done or may have done, and a lot of them haven't even done it. They were punished anyway because they don't have legal counsel. And people just don't care. They're just happy to have to have somebody locked away, and they can and put another medal on their uniform or whatever sheriffs have, and
talk about being and go into the election talking about being tough on crime.
Exactly. You know, and there are just so many people that are just wasting away in jails that don't belong there, and they're there by reasons of circumstance of their lives, and no resociation, or no resocial, help me out on this word.
Okay.
Resocialation. Oh God, ich kann überhaupt nicht mehr jetzt gerade. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. I think we do.
Okay. It's, you know, 1 o'clock, so, or 12:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well,
get a little bit...
My English wears down at 1 in the morning, Angelica. Don't feel bad.
Well, everything wears down, you know.
Angelica, it is so good to hear from you, and I thank you for your kind wishes, and I just hope we'll be here for the party on the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th anniversary.
Well, I'm the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th?
And the 10th and the 20th.
Oh, you mean anniversary? I thought you meant like October or November.
No. I'm talking anniversaries. I'm being optimistic and long term.
I wrote you an email saying, well, you know, this is the next year plus the next 50, you know, so I intend to
God, if I'm behind this microphone when I'm 94, I'll be Paul Harvey. Of course, that's kind of an American reference.
Yeah, you'll be around when you're 94.
I hope so.
I'm very, very sure of that. And you say hi to everyone at the Horn, and congratulations, okay?
I will. Thank you very kindly, Angelica. You have a wonderful morning.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our dear friend Angelica calling from Germany. Okay, here's the part of the program where we find it. No, that's a busy signal. Okay, that might be somebody. Hey, who have I got?
Kevin from D.C.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, well, welcome to America.
Yeah, it's an America I prefer to think that maybe we're getting past, but I just got it. We got our noses rubbed in it today, Kevin.
Yeah, well, you know, this. I'll put it to you this way. The N-word will never be out of our system anytime soon. Okay, reason being, there's too much to be gained by its popularity. And this is nothing new. This is so nothing new because when it comes down to the point, and this is the deep, dark, dirty secret within the black community, when we use it to describe one another, come on, it's not going to go away anytime soon. You know, fortunes are made off of the N-word. Look at any hip-hop entrepreneur and look at what they built. Yeah, and so you know it's not going to go away. So I don't.
But you know what, Kevin? I gotta be very candid here. I don't feel comfortable telling the so-called monolithic black community what to do with the language. I think that is for the community to deal with itself.
You're absolutely right with that, but. You know, there are a lot of progressive blacks like myself and a lot of, you know, people who are well-read, who have basically banged their heads against the walls trying to get it out of mainstream vocabulary, and it hasn't worked. So, you know, someone like Robert Byrd or Jesse Helms or what's his name from Mississippi?
Southwick.
They are what they are.
Trent Lott had tears in his eyes, Kevin, so the reportage went. He had tears in his eyes when Southwick was confirmed, and he thanked Dianne Feinstein for her courage.
Well, you know, I'm,
for her courage, Kevin, the courage to confirm a man who uses that word. Man, that's some courage.
Yeah, well, I don't expect Trent Lott to be but nothing but Trent Lott. I really don't. And, you know, I don't expect a bigot to be anything else but a bigot. But, you know, Bob, you have to say this is nothing new. And if you look at the history of America, whether it be black, white, or whatever, there is an implement of imperialism which transcends race and color and creed. Come on, think about what the black Americans do in Liberia.
Sure. You mean the violence? Yeah,
and those are all black Americans or descendants of black Americans going in and basically recreating the antebellum South. You know, this is, you know, Alberto Gonzalez is what he is because it's an American institution. You know, being a first generation West Indian American. You know, like I've told people, I've been called the N-word more times by my so-called own than any white person. And that's a sad fact.
See, that I see it as a fighting word. I do.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you do. I see, you know, and unfortunately, if it's come to the point where I feel more uncomfortable when a black person refers to me as that because, you know, to me it's just self-hatred and self-loathing than when a white person calls me that.
For
the most part, I would say 90% of the sane white people will never call me that. Or they may think it, but they won't call me that. But when a black person does it, it stings a lot more. So, you know, to me, and matter of fact, it's been when a white person does it, that means, to a certain degree, for me personally, that he fears me. for some reason or another. He fears me, or he's uncomfortable with my presence, or what have you. But, you know, this is, you know, there's money to be made in the use of that word. And as long as there's money to be made, it will be encouraged in America.
But I feel like I have some level of responsibility, Kevin. I can't give marching orders, and I'm not, or any, and I'm not going to sit here and be like that the revolting freak John Gibson and complain about or give orders to or make suggestions to how the black community deals with that word, because frankly, I feel like that word should be given over to the black community, and they should be able to take it out and fold it, spindle it, mutilate it, bury it at midnight, say a black mass over it, whatever, okay? But when it comes to the institutionalization of the word by virtue of the confirmation of a man who approves of its usage, and that man is a white man, and that man is ascending to the second highest court in the United States, then I have a moral responsibility to decry it.
And but you know, I kind of look at it as that racism has done very well for America. And as long as people are doing well off of racism and exploitation and every other shun or ism there is, people are going to partake in it.
For almost the first 100 years of this nation's existence, Kevin, this nation's prosperity was advanced by people who were deemed to be 3/5, 4/5 of a human being.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Racism has been very good to America.
Yeah.
And you could make the same argument that apartheid was very, very good for South Africa.
Exactly, and you know, and in some aspects, apartheid in South Africa hasn't ended. Yes, there are blacks in political power, but still, who owns all the wealth in South Africa?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, try and find any. How many black people are sitting on the boards of De Beers or Kloof Gold Mining Company?
You know, I'm just guessing, but I'd bet zero.
Exactly, if not. You know, and if they are, you know, they're probably been, oh, they're probably like a Clarence Thomas type who are so, you know, anti-black. You know, so like I said, the N-word has been, and racism has been very good to America, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. So I've come to the point where, you know, these are things I have to make peace with while I'm still living in this country, you know.
But, Kevin, can you make peace with it? Can you just say, oh, well, that's America?
I have no choice. Because, if I don't, then, you know, until America's willing, and express it, you know, until America's willing to finally grow up, you have no choice.
See, I don't necessarily remember because I was a child, but I am at least cognizant of a day when we might perhaps have hoped instead that hundreds of people would gather outside that hateful, venomous man's house every morning, every night, 24 hours a day, screaming, resign, 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 until he was, as he deservedly should be, hounded from the bench.
But that was between the age of when, you know, 1969 to 1980. Those days are long gone, because once Reagan came in and, you know, it was like, be as bad as you want to be politics.
And the gulf is widening, Kevin, because after all, and I think I've mentioned it at least once before on this program, the Isaiah Thomas story and the Isaiah Thomas lawsuit, you know, against the New York Knicks, where he testified under oath that, well, you know, if a white man calls a woman a bitch, that's really bad. But it's not the same thing if a black man calls a woman a bitch. It has a different meaning. So, you know, let's make no mistake. The gulf is wide, but it's widening on both sides of the on both sides of the sea. You know what I'm saying? But in this instance, when people who are lily white start tolerating it, when Dianne Feinstein is willing to tolerate it, when an old Klansman like Byrd is willing to tolerate it, when Ben Nelson of Nebraska is willing to tolerate it, when Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut is willing to tolerate it, I have a moral obligation not to remain silent.
And you know what? I commend you for that, but again, you know, it all boils down to these people have become very powerful or have made very good livings off of hatred and off of, you know, certain words like the N-word or the K-word or whatever. And, you know, they've put it to this way. In short, they've been able to lead very comfortable lives off of the exploitation of fellow human beings. And, you know, it's not going to change anytime soon. And, you know, you just have to, I've reached the stage now where I have to make peace with whatever, you know, hand that I've been dealt with. Because if not, I'm either going to do one or two things, bang my head against the wall, drink myself to death, or, you know, or just end up in a straitjacket.
Or drink yourself to death and bang your head into a wall. That happens,
yeah, too. Yeah. You know, it's just, you have to. And, you know, this is not a black thing, a white thing, or a brown thing. It's an American thing. When you have Mexican-Americans, you know, basically spying on their own cousins at the border, or their poor cousins at the border, and deporting them and going through God knows what kind of humiliations that they got to go through, it's an American thing. They bit into their American BS dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, you know, they're not crossing the border. The border was moved on them.
Sure. One of the ones that I love the best is when some right-wing freak in California will introduce a bill making English the official language of California.
Yeah.
The official language was some Native American tongue. At one point in time,
but it was
Spanish long before it was English.
That too, but you know what? The founding fathers, like you and I believe they were very intelligent people, and there was no official language. Because if that's the case, you know, someone like Newt Gingrich, whose family came from Germany, you know, 100 years ago, you know, there were more German-Americans speaking. There was more German spoken in this country than there was English. It was because of two world wars, a lot of German Americans to prove their loyalty to this country.
Oh yeah, and one of the reasons for the tremendous civil liberties crackdown in the First World War was because there was a feeling, not as pronounced as when we interned the Japanese in World War II, but a feeling that the loyalty of German Americans who had been here for a generation or two was somehow suspect. And it happened all over the upper Midwest. So,
and even in Brooklyn, where I come from, you know, there's still beer halls. And, you know, the neighborhood that our friend Joe grew up in, Bushwick, was a German neighborhood. And he can tell you, there are huge ruined beer halls in Brooklyn. They're in condos now, expensive ones. But, you know, those were old beer halls of German, and the German-American Bund was very active in Brooklyn. And, you know, a lot of Germans just gave up speaking German in the household in order to prove how loyal of Americans they were during the two world wars. So, you know, it's almost hypocrisy to me when I see someone like Newt Gingrich or whoever else say, you know, English has to be the official language of this country. Language is something that changes every 10 miles, like Mahatma Gandhi said. Hello?
Yeah, well, I'm right here. I'm soaking it all in because no, you're speaking so much truth, Kevin. And I don't know. I don't know that it should be refuted or commented on. It's sad. I mean, how can I put this? I had to run downtown today. I'm about to downtown. You know, town isn't much around here, Kevin. But I stopped at the Veterans Memorial because I wanted to see there are bricks in the pavement that have the name of every person who has served in every armed conflict in this particular district of the county. And I looked for my uncle's names. I looked for my father's name. I looked for my great uncle's name. I saw the names there that I had heard about growing up. And there has been so much given for so much that is right about this place. And yet, despite all of that rightness, you know, one bad apple does spoil the barrel.
Oh, yeah.
And it would seem that after all that sacrifice, the people who didn't have to make those sacrifices would be at least marginally willing to make the affirmative steps necessary to see the dream go forward. But we're not going forward, Kevin. We're going backwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're absolutely right. You know, I think it was Stephanie Miller who read The 10 Steps to Fascism a couple of days ago. And whether, you know, it makes Americans comfortable or not, we are living in a fascist society. We have been for the past nearly 30 years.
True enough. Well, from Nixon forward, I mean, that's really the beginning of it all. Just heard from somebody I haven't heard from in a long time regarding Feinstein, who let that rat bastard Southwick out of the committee. And she says, I imagine you're screaming about Feinstein. It's definitely good insurance. And I assume she means for Feinstein. It's definitely good insurance against anthrax letters and terrified plane trips. Kevin, this is a matter of paranoia, unmitigated, probably medicatable paranoia on my part, that I see things like this, and I wonder who got to whom with what. Because that is the kind of ham-fisted thuggery that the opposite party engages in. What was done to Dianne Feinstein to make her make that decision?
Well, I don't know, but I'm with you on that one, because even the guy who was basically threatened to lose all his committee memberships yesterday, what did they come down on him with? You know, what did they come up? What dirty laundry he has made him say he's.
I know. I'm looking at another email here, Kevin. Someone taking issue with you. She says you should have passion for right and wrong, and that word is awful. Everything about it is awful, and black people should not use it either, money or not. Our humanity should not be traded for profit, and that is what this younger generation, the post-Reagan generation, doesn't understand. They just want their piece of the pie, and they think they can sell anything to have it. Oh, darn it, Kevin. Sometimes Kevin has cell phone troubles. I bet that's him again. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, it's Kevin. Yeah. My call was dropped. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you moved.
Yeah.
But anyway, she says, I don't know, she's encouraging you to not be willing to live with it, or not just say that that's how it is, but to openly oppose it.
Yeah, well, believe you me, I understand what she's saying, but there are times it's just hard. It's hard work. And, you know, I'm tired. I really am tired. You know, all I want to do, Bob, just like a majority, is just live your life. But there are times, just live your life, be with your family, you know, enjoy your children, see them grow up, and just get through life. And it's definitely difficult. It really is difficult. And, you know, you cannot change. It's the most difficult thing to do is change the hearts and minds of people.
But
it really is.
But that's the thing, Kevin. We thought we were on the way to it. We thought, you know, nothing happens overnight, and sometimes generations have to die off. Okay,
yeah.
But Leslie Southwick is not some the 90-year-old creamed corn chewing old Strom Thurmond wannabe. He's not that much older than me. Okay, maybe he's a decade older than me.
Well,
we should have made some progress on the Leslie Southwick somewhere along the way, but obviously we haven't.
Well, the thing is, you know, come on. You know, I've lived in the South. You're a man of the South. There are people who are still talking about Sherman's ride through Georgia 150 years after the fact.
Yeah, well, oh, God.
You know, I living in northern Florida, I've heard people talk about it as if it happened like 5 years ago.
Kevin, I hate having my own personal mythology about what America is and should be assaulted so viscerally and so shamelessly.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. This is just, you know, hey, you, all of you who believe that we could achieve a level of that the words in the Constitution actually mean something. You know, that's what we got today. That's what we got from Senator Byrd and Senator Landrieu and Senator Pryor and Senator Lincoln and Senator Nelson and Senator Akaka. That's what we got from Lieberman. Dorgan and Tim Johnson. You know, Tim Johnson, who was damn near killed by a brain aneurysm and gets as close to shuffling off this mortal coil as you can get and come back. And he can't find his basic humanity to turn down a man who sanctions that word?
You know, like I said, it all boils down to, you know, as long as I got mine, screw everyone else. And, you know, that's the easy thing. You know, like I keep on telling you, Guy, Mike, Malloy, you know, I wouldn't want to live your day, you know, your life, because being white and being progressive must be a very difficult life when it's so much easier to be the other thing.
Oh, it's easy on one level, but it's hell on another.
Yeah, you know, I know your conscience must eat you up at night, but, you know, on the day-to-day thing, it's probably more easier and more lucrative to be the other option.
Well, you're right to a certain extent. You know, when you hear that word used, and if you're serious about it, and you look over at somebody and go, what's wrong with you that you would use that word?
Yeah,
that's a little bit tough. But you know what? If I can't do something like that, I got no business behind this microphone. I got no business calling myself a liberal or a progressive or a decent human being, Kevin.
Yeah, and you know, you truly are. You know, you're the real deal. Unlike, you know, professionals out there, like you know, I don't know who to call at the moment. But you know, you Mike, Guy, Tom, to a certain degree, are the real deal. You know, but a lot of people who are in, you know,
that's
who
tall,
are in
that's tall
media.
Company you're putting me in, Kevin. That's mighty tall company you're putting me in, and I.
Well,
I,
you
I,
know, you deserve to be. You deserve to be. You deserve to be. You know, you guys are the real deal. Unlike a lot of people in mainstream media, whose primary end is just to make sure they get invited to the finest restaurants, and you know. And have their corporate card and all that stuff. It's a different story altogether.
Well, I guess it is, and odds are I'll never be challenged with
well,
that.
You know,
so.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
Kevin, I don't think anybody's going to take me up unto that high place and offer me the world and its dominions anytime
well,
soon.
You know what? Then they're a poor judgment of character. They really are.
Well, we've got to hit the news on the dot, Kevin. Thank you so much for all your thoughts. I particularly appreciate your perspective, and I'll just say this: if my use of that word was offensive or hurtful,
definitely not, because I know your heart, Bob. Don't worry, man. Don't worry, man. I know where your heart is, and sometimes you can't help it. It has to be used, just like Mark Twain used it.
It feels like vomit in the back of my mouth. It really does. But, Kevin,
yeah.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I don't know. Have a look at it. Don't give up. Don't give up. For God's sakes, don't give up.
Yeah, well, I'll try not to, man. You're a very good inspiration.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care.
Okay. God bless, brother.
Bye now. It is. The whole damn thing is like vomit in the back of my throat. Really, really. And for truly. So we'll be back. News is next. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington today, President Bush signed a major disaster declaration for 7 Southern California counties. He'll visit the region tomorrow. Brush fires have so far caused an estimated $1 billion in damage in San Diego County alone, forcing at least a 500,000 people from their homes, the largest evacuation in California's history, taking place across those 7 counties. Fires have burned 640 square miles, or about 410,000 acres, nearly 9,000 firefighters battling those blazes. As many as 5 people have been killed because of the fires, at least 24 injured, most of them firefighters, and 1,500 homes at least have been destroyed. Los Angeles Times reporting that a suspected arsonist was shot and killed last night, located by authorities in a remote brushy area. The suspect reportedly crashed his car into police vehicles before the officers fired their weapons, the shooting under investigation. Military sources in Ankara say the Turkish Air Force and ground troops have conducted several raids into northern Iraq since Sunday. 34 Kurdish separatists were killed in those attacks. Western Indonesia rocked by a powerful earthquake, a tsunami warning posted for the surrounding area. The quake had a preliminary magnitude of 7.1. 2 bombs exploded in a marketplace today on the outskirts of Baghdad. At least 8 people, including children, were killed, another 25 wounded. Over the next decade, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could cost up to an estimated $2.4 trillion, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. The White House calls that estimate speculative. That's a quote. So far, the U.S. has spent more than $600 billion on both wars. South Korea says North Korea will begin dismantling its nuclear weaponry program by the middle of next month. In exchange, Pyongyang will receive 1 million tons of oil plus international political aid. Protests are being held today in front of the Chinese embassies in 12 major cities to commemorate the arrest exactly 12 years ago of Myanmar's Nobel Peace Prize winner, Aung San Suu Kyi. The Senate Homeland Security Committee today will discuss the federal government's terror watch list. It's grown to more than 755,000 names, quadrupling since 2004. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their clients' name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
China launched its first lunar orbiter today. The space crew's year-long expedition is the first step in a program meant to land an unmanned moon rover by 2012. U.S. bankruptcy filings have surged 23% from this time last year. That's according to the American Bankruptcy Institute. The increase includes both individuals and businesses. Board of Regents says Oral Roberts University is $55 million in debt. President Richard Roberts on temporary leave to battle a lawsuit claiming out-of-control spending. Bank of America will eliminate 3,000 jobs, most from its investment banking unit. A review of the faltering unit is planned. Microsoft bought a percentage stake in rising internet star Facebook for $240 million, beating out competitor Google in negotiations. And Merrill Lynch today adding $2.5 billion to the $5 billion it's already announced as quarterly write-downs. Light sweet crude oil trading at $87.10 $0.15 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. That's up $1.83. Gold currently trading at $765.60 an ounce. That's up $2.50 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average off 1 point at 13,675. NASDAQ down 24.5 points at 2774. The S&P 500 down 4 points at 1515. More on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I don't want to seem like a broken record or anything, but I'm not done with this story. Mark Levine did an absolutely superb job laying out all the sick, serpentine twists and turns of the utterly criminal attempt to immunize the telecoms for spying on you, spying on me, spying on us. Well, Bob, maybe they didn't spy on you. You know what? They had the power to. That matters. What's the old saw? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Somehow I don't like the idea of absolute power being vested in the hands of a company that can't even, you know, keep my internet service on in the rain. Verizon. I don't want to vest that kind of power in a company that can't keep electrical surges from frying $3,000 pieces of equipment in this studio, Verizon. I just don't want to do it. But Mark did a masterful job, as Mark always does when he sets out to deconstruct right-wing filth. So I figure you've probably got everything you need to know about the telecom story. Mark is, on the other hand, as incensed as I am, although he would probably say it in much nicer terms than I have managed thus far, about the Southwick story. And like a dog with an old bone, I don't feel like letting go of it just yet. The Alito confirmation really meant something in this country, and now we are beginning to reap that bitter harvest. We saw it in the abrogation of just about everything that Brown versus Board of Education stood for in the last term of the court. And if you now pay attention and once in a while just check out what's going on in the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, you will find that the confirmation of Leslie Southwick has meaning, too. And the meaning that it brings is not good. This is a tragedy. This is another tragic day in Bushmerica. Spell that with three K's, by the way. This is the stuff that Neil Young anthems are made of. This is the stuff that some of the things that the drive-by truckers sing about are made of. This is what our dear friend John Kuntz was singing about when he recorded this.
father's behead of pride. It wasn't perfect, but fought and died. 200 years of struggle for equality. Now it looked more like a monarchy. The hall for justice did once reside has been sold out and replaced with lies. It's all money, power to the few. How long until they come for you? And you say that it can never happen here. And you say it can never happen here. Burn habeas corpus, tear up the writs, rubber stamps, Senate of hypocrites. Those new detention camps weren't built for show. Posse comitatus is next to go. And you say that it can never happen here. And you say that it can never happen. Fear rules a mob. You print your truth, you lose your job. The clean war makes it safe for you. It's death for many, riches for the few. And you say that it can never happen here. And you say
sums it up quite nicely, doesn't it? It Can Never Happen Here, John Koontz. That's the title track from his latest disc. I think there's still some available over at cdbaby.com. The whole thing is just brilliant. But this is... I looked down at that brick with my father's name on it today at the Veterans Memorial. And I couldn't help asking, is this what you fought for? Did you fight? Did your brother die? Did friends die? Did friends get maimed in a fight against fascism, only to have fascism tiptoe in on what Carl Sandburg would have called little cat feet? And I know the answer. The answer is, of course, no. You know, I heard Flush Flimball the other day as I was out driving around saying, "My friends, I try not to talk about my personal life on this program." And I thought, well, you old Nazi gasbag, you. That says a mouthful, doesn't it? You don't talk about your personal life on the program because you don't have a personal life to talk about. Well, my friends, today I had a really big steak. And tonight I'm going to have a lobster. And in the meantime, I'll do 3 hours of hate. He doesn't talk about his personal life. He has no personal life to talk about. There's no honesty in his life. Or Savage's life. Or O'Reilly's. Or that life support system for a haircut, Hannity. I don't aim, I hope I'm not boring you when I talk about my little reflective moment standing down at a veterans memorial in a tiny little dried up, blown away former coal company town in West Virginia. I hope I don't bore you doing that. But I had a lot to dream last night. And I saw my father in my dream. And we talked. And so today, while I was downtown, you know, I really shouldn't use the word downtown in relation, no. I stopped at that little veterans memorial. And I looked at those bricks. And at that point in time, I knew this filthy little authoritarian piece of crap, Leslie Southwick, had been confirmed to the bench with the collusion of people who call themselves Democrats. And I had this mental image of Robert C. Byrd hobbling up to that memorial and spitting on just a great big loogie all over every name on that memorial. Because, of course, that's what Robert C. Byrd did today, again. But, of course, whoever replaces Robert C. Byrd won't be any better. And I've got a pretty good idea who that replacement is. Whenever Robert C. Byrd shuffles off this mortal coil and goes to his reward and his long home. And it won't be any improvement. Now, to be fully fair, and I like to be fair, John D. Rockefeller, J. Rockefeller, voted against the confirmation of Leslie Southwick. But they keep, you know, for every good, there's bad. And I know that it is the nature of a human being to not be flawless. And I am pragmatic enough to understand that I am not going to agree with my representatives all the time. But on an issue as important as, for instance, the right of the American people to be secure in those precious moments on telephones with grannies and grandpas and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, when we so often in this electronic age share the absolute most intimate moments of our existence, I do not believe it is too much to ask John D. Rockefeller IV to speak up for those extraordinary Americans and their most intimate moments, and to say to the telecoms that they do not have the right to plead "Viva only following orders" when asked about spying on the American people. Mark Levine made that point ever so eloquently, and I am so glad that he did. So we're going to get, Jay Rockefeller is up for re-election. I got another one of those pitches via email the other day telling me that he was going to need a lot of money to hold back the conservatives. Hold them back? How? Where, Jay? Where are you holding them back, buddy? I'm open to being informed. Where? You know, it's time for a little less the noble senator from Meritor. It's time for a little less of that and a little bit more in your face. Where is that Democratic senator willing to get up in Dianne Feinstein's ugly little face and scream at her? Our good friend Tony Seaton over at the Quality News Network frequently touts a book on civility in America. And I am at pains to know where that civility becomes useless. Because there are some times when people do things that are so wrong that they have brought upon themselves outright vilification and raising of voices and close personal contact to ask them what the hell they were thinking. What were you thinking, Dianne Feinstein? Could you not be a Democrat for a little while longer, honey? Could you not stand up to the fascist thugs just a few more days, a few more weeks, maybe a year? Did all the sand just run out of you and your spine collapsed like a rag doll with its sawdust cut, Senator Feinstein? And you, Senator Johnson, to hover with the whispering of the angel's wings in your ears and not be able to find it in yourself to reject a man who thinks that a significant portion of the population of this country are nothing more than an epithet. Maybe they cut the best part out of you when they got the aneurysm, Senator Johnson. I'm sorry, I feel that way. Every so often, the Congress of the United States or some other member of my party comes along and just drives a dagger straight into my heart. And they seem to do it either with glee or with some sort of easy aplomb. Like I said, talking with Kevin. When Southwick was confirmed today by a vote of 59-38, we fell 4 short of being able to filibuster that filthy bastard. It is said that Trent Lott's eyes filled with tears. Trent Lott, member of the Concerned Citizens Council, sort of the necktie and suit wing of the KKK. Mitch McConnell said, if we start opposing well-qualified nominees because outside groups... Remember that? That's one of those old Southern code words, boys and girls. Outside agitators. Because outside groups have manufactured an unfair perception of them, then we will have established a precedent that will affect us all, regardless of who is in the White House. Manufactured. Outside agitators manufactured the case in which Leslie Southwick gave a job back to a man who called a co-worker, well, I'm tired of saying the word, you know what it was. Sick of saying the word. I'm sick of people who sanction the use of the word. I'm sick of Mitch McConnell. I'm sick of Trent Lott. But I am far sicker of Robert Byrd. And far sicker of Mary Landrieu. And far sicker than of Tim Johnson and Ben Nelson. And far, far sicker of Senator Akaka of Hawaii? Holy crap! Trent Lott said Senator Feinstein took a tough stand and she showed a lot of courage. Senator Feinstein said fights over judges hurt both parties. Both parties. Her quote, her pull quote from this story, "It's got to end." Because, you see, Mitch McConnell went to the Democrats and he said, "We will block every stinking appointment that your president," because they understand there's going to be a Democratic president in 2008, "we will block every stinking appointment that your president makes, and we don't care if the entire judiciary collapses, because we put party before people, we put party before nation, we put party before patriotism in the Republican Party, and we stand together and we fight back, because we've got backbones and we believe in what we believe in, no matter how hateful it is, and we will stop you." And there stood Harry Reid with his powder dry and his shorts soaking wet.
It's got to end.
Well, Senator Feinstein, it's not going to end, honey. Just because you have given them their heart's desire and every weirdo, far-right, ultra-right-wing, fascist, conservative piece of garbage that they have sent to the floor of the Senate doesn't mean that they're going to give you any when you, your president, is making the appointments. Senator Feinstein, your memory is apparently extremely short, but mine is apparently much longer, because I remember, Senator, I know for a fact that the Republicans in the Senate blocked far, far, far more Clinton appointments to the bench than you have ever even worked up having the stones to think about blocking of George Bush's. And that is just a fact. A fact that there's no getting around. We have been sold again. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan. What's
you
up?
Just stole my thunder. That's what I was going to bring up. The Republicans are liars of the first order, and they are going to block everything that the Democrats put up. I don't care what they've said. They're going to do it anyway, because like you said, they don't care.
Oh, yeah, and the Feinsteins of the world will sit there, Susan, and they'll go, "But you promised. You promised."
And they're just going to sit there with a shit-eating grin on their face. What we need in the House and the Senate are more people like Stark to haul off a great big fat fistful of knuckles and punch him right in the face.
I know. And see, the fun part of this, Susan, is when Feinstein complains that, you know, you promised, you're breaking your promise, you're not being true to your word. You know what the Republicans will say, Susan? We never said any such thing. Quit making stuff up about us.
Yeah, exactly. I never, ever thought I would say this. But damn, I really miss Lyndon Baines Johnson. Not as a president.
But as a fighter. As a senator.
In the Congress. Because when he was in the Congress, man, that body danced to his tune because he knew how to horse trade.
All we know how to do these days is be ridden like borrowed mules, Susan, and beaten like them too.
Yeah, and I left a message. I sent a message into Nancy's. I'm sure it was dumped, but I came right out and called her a Republican whore. And Feinstein is exactly the same thing. They are Republican whores. They've been bought by the Republicans, and that makes them whores.
Well, you know, when you're paid to sell,
if you're paid to spread it, and that's what you do, that makes you a whore. If you put out for money, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah, it is. That's the rule of ducks. And something else that rhymes with it. You have no idea how I've been struggling not to say that word.
Oh yeah.
But I am not going to commemorate our second birthday.
Expletive deleted. Expletive deleted.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do that.
I'm sitting here, you know, I'm self censoring here. You know, I'm going with the expletive. I know I can say that. Between the telecom and Southwick and Stark,
I know.
Well, here's another thing that Dear Jay really should pay attention to when he's voting for these telecom bills. To be giving them immunity. Guys, it's probably not going to be me that they're going to be listening to, because frankly, I'm small fry. Even if I don't like Bush and make no bones about it, they could care less because they know I'm powerless. They're going to be listening in on Jay Rockefeller's phone calls. And they're going to be listening in on his phone calls.
And they're going to be listening in on they're going to know every time that Barack Obama goes to the bathroom, and they're going to know the same thing about Senator Clinton.
Uh-huh. You know, and every time Jay Rockefeller makes a date with his mistress, they're going to know about it, and they're going to use it.
And it's worth remembering that the entire Nixon administration fell in part because of an illegal wiretapping scheme.
Yes.
And here is a thug punk who is wiretapping the whole blessed nation, and we have no one in the Congress willing to stand up and call him on it.
Yeah. No one who is willing to stand up and say, have you no decency? And the one man who even came close got hammered not by so much by the Republicans, but by his own party.
Yep. And the other one took an airplane ride and never came back.
Yeah. And you'll never convince me it wasn't murder.
Well, that's what the college Republicans said it was. It took us a while to get Paul Wellstone, but we got him.
Foster all they want. Personally, I think the Bushies are the biggest murderers in creation, and I think one of their first victims was Wellstone. Actually, I think it goes back.
And then had the unmitigated gall to complain about his memorial service.
Yeah, I think it goes back further than that, because I remember seeing a picture on the web of guess who's standing on
the entrance
of Texas school book depository, November 22nd, 1963.
I know.
George Bush, Sr.
Sure. Sure. Anybody whose daddy would collaborate with the Nazis is probably not going to raise the best of sons.
Yeah. And who would have absolutely no qualms about bumping up, helping to bump off a president.
So,
let's face it, he was known as Bailout Bush. He would have he had no qualms about bailing out on his own people and leaving them to die.
I know. So, you know, where does that leave us, Susan? I mean, do we just sit here and scream for a couple of hours and then, you know, we're all better?
Are we going to...
honest to God, okay, you're out in far Oregon, okay?
Yeah.
You, best, look in on something like West Virginia politics through a long lens.
Yeah.
What are the people of this state supposed to do?
Hold yourself a tea party.
No, I mean, I'm not... No. I mean, we don't have any bays. We don't have any tea. No, what are we supposed to do?
Oh,
honestly, what's the answer? Where does the leadership come from? I know who the replacement for Senator Byrd will be, and the only Democrat he's ever voted for is himself, okay?
Okay, who's the Democrat who's going to be... Who's the replacement?
No.
Oh, you're not going to...
No.
Okay.
You know, they know where I live.
Oh, okay.
You know, Rockefeller.
Yeah. Okay.
We get no representation from our elected leaders most of the time. Every last one of them is bought and paid for by the coal industry. You heard Judy Bonds talking a week ago. You know what it's like for folks in the southern coal fields. You know what's being done to Maria Gano because she had the nerve to put her hand in the air and swear to tell the truth to a U.S. district judge and talk about what had been done to her, her children, and her property?
Yeah.
They're threatening to burn her out and shoot her and her children as they run from the flames.
I know. I read it. I would say you have two choices. Start with kids. I don't care how sneaky you have to be, but start with kids. And it's going to take a long time. And you probably won't see it. And the other thing you can do, vote with your feet. Leave.
Give up. Quit. Surrender.
On West,
retreat.
On West Virginia. On West Virginia.
A place that needs fighters more than it has ever needed them in their lives, and I'm supposed to walk
away.
Well,
that's why my first option was to say, start with the kids, start indoctrinating.
Well, I've got
every other kid you can reach.
I've got a third way, Susan. And again, it's a question that you know. For all that the right wing says about, well, you know, them liberals, they just want to throw money at something. I haven't seen many problems that money doesn't solve. But we are guilty in this state of waiting for a leader. Jay Rockefeller is no more a West Virginian than I'm a man on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Something like George Bush is a Texan, my butt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Likeable fella. They're all likable. That's why they get elected. They can stand there in the crowd and press the flesh and aw shucks and shit kick and you know whatever.
There's a term for it. Born bullshitters.
So you know there's that. But we need people outside of West Virginia. You know those outside agitators.
Yeah.
That's what they call the young people who come in and work with the Coal River Mountain Watch at OVEC, by the way.
Oh, I know where you're getting.
Outside agitators. We're not looking for freedom riders.
Oh, okay.
We have to do this ourselves.
Okay.
If we do not do it ourselves, and that's why I refuse to run away.
Okay.
It ain't in me. It ain't in me. I mean, there's a lot of bad to be said about Southerners, but running away ain't one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We ran the Blue Belly Army plumb back into Washington, D.C. On half of everything, a third of everything that they had, and we still remember it.
I may be a Yankee, but I also know the casualty totals out of Gettysburg and Shiloh. Trust me on this. I know about there ain't no such thing as quit in the Southern.
So we've got to do it ourselves, but we need some help. West Virginia needs people outside this state with the money to put into it to create, well, there was something in the 50s and the 40s called the Highland School. It was in East Tennessee. And it is where people like Rosa Parks learned not to give up her seat. And we need one of those in West Virginia.
Cool.
And it has to be organic. And we need to teach people how to do politics. And we need to teach people how to do opposition research. And we need to learn to do this all on our own because we cannot wait for a savior. And you know what? If I say this about West Virginia, guess what? It applies to Mississippi, too.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it applies to Alabama and Louisiana. It applies to every state in this union where people have been seconded to the money and the corporations.
Especially in the South, because somebody coming in from the outside is looked upon as outsider, in quotes.
We need a Mother Jones.
Yeah.
And but once we've got all that, we have to have in this state, Susan, people who are willing to stand up and stick their necks out and say, I don't care if they shoot me down like a dog in the damn street. I will speak the truth. And I will stand up. And I ain't going to take it anymore.
You need the equivalent of the early United Mine Workers.
Yeah.
The very first United Mine Workers. The ones who did get shot.
Yeah. So, I'm afraid, my dear, that I ain't got no runaway in me.
Well, hey, you come up with one I didn't think of, and it's a very, very good idea, and it can be used all over the South.
And there are people who have the wherewithal to make that happen. Now, I sit here, and I make pitches for $2,000 a month to keep the horn on the air. That's not what I'm talking about.
I know. It's totally different. Have you contacted Dean?
Are you kidding?
About this?
That man wouldn't take my phone call if I made it on a solid gold nickel. They're not. That's the wrong place, Susan. That's the thing. We will not get relief from traditional politics as usual. Because if you're doing politics as usual, then sooner or later you have to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And do the other guy's bidding.
Of a funding source, then.
Well, some of it's happening. It's happening in the growth of Coal River Mountain Watch, but that's generalized activism. It has to come from people who are committed to political change that are outside the corrupted political structure of this country.
Mm-hmm.
People with money. And those organizations exist.
It's a really good idea.
But they have to have the courage of their convictions, and they have to be able to stick their money where their mouth is. I know very specifically some things. But I don't want to say them out loud, not because it's a conspiracy theory or I'm afraid of anything, but simply because it would be unfair because these people haven't been approached.
Yeah.
But the model is clearly the Highland School.
Yeah.
And there are people in this audience who can tell you what the Highland School did in East Tennessee in the 40s and 50s.
It's a really good idea.
But if we teach people to take part in the political process and to stand up and be fearless, we can end mountaintop removal before it has a chance to finish off the job. We can change the economy of West Virginia to be a place where companies would be proud to bring their employees.
Yeah. And it's a real idea not just for the South, but for the entire country, because
Like I said, anywhere that people are seconded to the values of the corporation and the money and the caviar and Lark's Vomit Canapé crowd.
Right. The biggest threat to this country has always been apathy. The apathy of the voter, because they feel like, why should I vote? It won't make a difference anyway. And if they're taught,
and frankly, that's something I'm feeling right now. I'm gonna, I get a Hobson's choice in one. We are not running any progressives against Jay Rockefeller to even for the purposes of driving him a little bit toward the center left and away from the right. We didn't run anybody in the primary against Robert Byrd, because you got to understand, in a state filled with people who are cowed by religion. Here's our prayer meeting moment, Susan.
Yeah.
In a state filled with people who are cowed by religion, when you clothe someone with something approaching religious sanction, as has been done with Byrd and has been done with Rockefeller,
you can't go up against them.
No, and by God, they will use the political power that they have to utterly destroy you. In 1996, a very, very young, vivacious, exciting, liberal, progressive woman named Charlotte Pritt ran against Joe Manchin in the primary and won. And she was our party's candidate for governor that year. Well, she doesn't even live in West Virginia anymore. She was slimed and sleazed and driven out of this state. And shortly after she beat Mr. Manchin in the primary, this state was suddenly blossomed in bumper stickers that said, "Democrats for Underwood." And Underwood was the senile old fool that the Republicans put up to run against her. And guess what? That campaign was not funded by the Republicans. Payback is a bitch here.
Yeah.
And it just is. And and understand, Susan, that's why I don't have a bunch of politicians on my show. Every once in a while I'd like to, because I'd like to talk about a particular issue. But when you start wallowing with those people, and you get on the air with them, and you pretend that they're your best buddy, and they pretend that they're yours, you are, to some small degree or large, immediately and inexorably and forever corrupted by it. Mm. Because suddenly, baby, you've got access. And that access is like heroin.
Yeah.
And so I know that as long as I never run a hot rig into my arm, I won't ever have the Jones for it.
Yeah.
So that's why there's not a lot of Senator this or Congressman that on this program.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense. I know you've gotten calls like from the woman who ran for Congress in Florida.
Sam Simpson, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's a good guest to have because, let's face it, she can't, even if she runs again and wins, what can she do for West Virginia? Not much.
Well, but I mean, this is not a West Virginia program. Let me make something clear. And others who call this program frequently or infrequently,
mm-hmm.
we really have developed a friendly relationship over time. I think of you as a dear friend. When I refer to somebody on this program as our dear friend, I can guarantee you that Agnes and I, either one, would be happy to put our hands on a Bible or a stack of phone books or anything else to swear on and swear that we feel that way, because it is true. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, when you've got, for the most part, okay, this is, blanket statements can never be true, but for the most part, when you've got somebody on, for instance, the Valerie Plame Wilson, okay? She's making the circuit right now, and she's on, you know, Olbermann, and she talks to Katie Couric, and it's all, "Hi, how are you? Oh, my God, you're my best friend." Okay? To one degree, they wouldn't recognize each other on the streets if they passed. They're not pals. They're not buddies. They're not intimates. They're using each other.
Right.
The host is using the guest as a hook to bring in an audience, and the guest is using the host as a means of hustling the product.
Right.
And I've done that from time to time, but I try to be a little bit honest about it, and I say I will not have anybody on this program hustling a book that, A, I haven't read, and, B, that I don't think is worth hustling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's our second birthday, and I guess I'm kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit, but I like to pull the curtain back.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to you.
don't do another bar of that, or you'll get sued.
Oh, yes, that's right. Besides which, I can't, after all the years I smoked, I can't sing worth beans. The voice is gone.
Well, you know, I couldn't sing. It's like the old joke where the guy comes out of surgery and he says, "Well, will I be able to play the piano now, doctor?" And the doctor says, "Well, I don't see why not." He says, "That's great, because I never could before. I couldn't sing before I started smoking, so I'm not worried about it."
That's old. That's so old.
Yeah, well, everyone I know is. I mean, you know, it just is. It's like, well, okay, I got another one for you, and you'll appreciate this. When an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman are drinking a glass of Guinness, and a fly lands in all three glasses, the Englishman doesn't even touch it. He pushes it back, and he says, "I won't drink this." And the Irishman plucks the fly out, flips it away, and drinks his Guinness. "Ah, tis the very mother's milk to me." Meanwhile, the Scotsman picks the fly out of his glass and holds it up and says, "Spit it out! Spit it out, I tell you!" I'll be here all week. Try the veal. Scotsman walks into the kitchen, sees his son sitting around with his new glasses on. He says, "What are you looking at?" "Nothing, Pa." "You reading something?" "No, Pa." "Then take the damn glasses off. You're wasting them."
Oh, God, that's bad.
But, you know, we can tell jokes on Scots because I'm Scots.
Oh, yeah.
Susan, I'm going to run along. I think I've got somebody else here on hold now.
Cool.
I have to hit the top of the hour breaks because stuff's messed up with QNN, and I can't go over and still have news.
Thank you,
my dear. And best to Donald with his surgery tomorrow.
Thank you.
We'll be thinking of him.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, let's see if somebody's actually here. Looks like it. Hey, who have I got?
Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You made it two.
Yep, we're 2 years old, scooting along on the floor.
You're in the terrible twos.
You're damn right, and I'm going to be terrible for the next year.
Oh, good God, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for being there, Bob Kincaid. Thank Head On Radio Network.
We're toddling along, and we flop over on our butts every now and then, but we get up and keep going, you know?
There you go, and I love you for it. Oh, my goodness. And everybody on the... Everybody in the free world loves you for it because you are the voice of freedom. You're the voice. You're kind of like that. What they used to call that back in the day? That was that thing that they used to shoot over the Berlin Wall. You know?
Yeah.
The voice of America. You are the voice of America, Bob. You are the voice of the American people. And you are that strong and that true and that decent, and that is why I will call you my good friend, my decent friend, my American patriot. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob
Kincaid, for being there for all of us.
Well, Bob, I'm not engaging in any false modesty when I say that there's not a damn bit of this worth doing without you and thousands and thousands of others like you out there. Without the input that I get from you guys, and we, not just I, it's not me and that mouse in my pocket, Without the input that we on the network get via the chat room, the emails, the blogs, everything, we're just howling into a fierce north wind.
Yeah, that's true. We do that every winter.
that's why I used the metaphor, because I figured you'd probably identify.
When the north wind comes, when we get them what do they call them,
Alberta Clipper?
Yeah, we get them Alberta Clippers down here. Boy, it gets nasty. But by golly, thank you. Thank you for being there and standing tall. And standing you do, son. You stand tall. And I am proud to call you my friend. Because that's what you are, Bob Kitcaine. You are my friend. I talked to old Sarge here. And I told him, you know, son, you ought to call this Bob Kincaid up and at least say happy second anniversary. And you know what? He ignored me. And that kind of...
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't ignoring. No, I'm sure I wasn't ignoring it. No.
No, no, not you, Bob. No, you weren't ignoring me. The old Sarge was. You
no, no, I don't think so. No. Sarge is a good friend of this program, but I also know how hard he's working out there in Arizona. He may not even have time.
I know, but hey, Bob, you know, you got him where he's at today. You really did. And you know you did. You worked hard to help him and his friends. But by golly, he owes you something. He owes you at least a happy anniversary, Bob. Happy anniversary and your second anniversary for the Head On Radio Network. And Bob, you kicked it off in the first place, and doggone it, we owe you for sticking with us and fighting for us and doing what you do every doggone day of the year.
You owe me nothing, Bob. It's the only thing I ask is if you want it to continue, just support it. That's all we ask.
Yeah, well, I do my best.
I know. I'm not talking about you specifically, but I mean this is. That's the only way it continues.
Shout out. Okay. All right, little advertisement. That's great. But, hey, Bob, you're at the head of the hour. By golly, you're going to hit it shortly here.
I got to roll.
I love you, son, and just keep doing it. And my love to Agnes. And, hey, she can talk to Glenda any day, you know.
Back at you and Glenda, too. We'll roll on. Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
Bye now.
Love you much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, let's roll out... Let's roll out this segment up to the news with a little more something-something that might speak to the issues that we've been talking about. Mike Cooley, Patterson Hood, the drive-by truckers, the Southern thing. No, that's Southern Man, sorry.
on some 18 brush fires burning in Southern California. Some of the 500,000 evacuees are being allowed to return home and view the havoc that was once their neighborhood. It's not close to being over. However, 9,000 firefighters are battling the blazes. Nearly 1,500 homes have been destroyed. Late word is that one fire, the San Tiago, was definitely started by one or more arsonists. Multiple simultaneous flashpoints have been discovered. FBI arson investigators worked with Orange County firefighters in their discovery. A $70,000 reward has been offered. The fires have burned 640 square miles, or about 410,000 acres. In Washington, President Bush signed a major disaster declaration. He'll visit the region tomorrow. The brush fires have so far caused an estimated $1 billion in damage in San Diego County alone. As many as five people have been killed because of the fires. At least 24 have been injured, most of them firefighters. The Turkish Air Force and ground troops have conducted several raids into northern Iraq since Sunday. 34 Kurdish separatists were killed in the attacks. The Pentagon says October is expected to be the second month in a row to report a decrease in U.S. military deaths in Iraq. The military credits the troop surge, along with Shiite and Sunni forces teaming up to defeat al-Qaeda militants. In what Defense Secretary Robert M. Gates called, quote, a litmus test for the effectiveness of the alliance in the 21st century, end quote, several NATO members at a ministerial conference in the Netherlands have offered more support in the Afghanistan war. Dallas prosecutors say that they'll retry the Islamic Charity and its employees accused of illegally funneling $12 million to Hamas. The nation's largest terrorism funding court case in 6 years ended in a mistrial on Monday. In Madrid, 22 suspected Islamic terrorists have been indicted. The men are charged with recruiting and sending fighters to Iraq. And today, north of Madrid, Spanish police arrested six men on similar charges of recruiting Islamic militants and raising funding for terrorist activities. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are coming up next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address and city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
Testing all new patients for a staph superbug before hospitalization could cut down on a stubborn germ that likely kills more Americans than AIDS, according to a new study. A space shuttle Discovery is expected to arrive at the International Space Station by tomorrow. It's considered the most complex mission undertaken in almost 10 years. China's launched its first lunar orbiter. Beijing's year-long expedition is the first step in a space program designed to land an unmanned moon rover by 2012 and a manned mission by 2020. Chinese-made magnetic game pieces sold by Target as part of children's backpacks based on the Disney Cars movie were recalled today. United and JetBlue reported an increase in quarterly earnings. The air carrier cited full airplanes and cost-cutting measures. Northrop Grumman announced a 62% jump in quarterly profit, led by sales in its information technology and shipbuilding divisions. The American Bankruptcy Institute reports U.S. bankruptcy filings surging 23% from this time last year. The increase includes both individuals and businesses. AT&T posted a boost in quarterly net of 41%. The company's wireless division credited the iPhone for adding 2 million AT&T subscribers since June. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed off a fraction at 13,675, and the NASDAQ lost 24.5 to close at 27.44. S&P 500 slipped 4. Oil is up $1.83 at $87.10 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman. We'll be right back.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Hour three. Can I get away from Southwick? I don't know. I'm going to try. I don't know why I get so mad. I don't know why I waste my anger on it. All in the world, these rotten political things swirling the toilet are doing is what they do all the damn time. And it's depressing as hell. I guess I get mad because there's still some core of me. There's still some core of me that believes we can do better. That we should do better. That in fact, we must do better. But there are other stories that dovetail into this one in their own sweet little way. But before we get to them, we'll go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up?
Not a whole lot. Happy anniversary, second anniversary.
Thank you very kindly.
All my best to you and your family. And, on a personal basis, I wish you all the very best.
Well, we certainly appreciate it and send it back your way.
Live long, be an apt pupil, prosper. Live and learn, one day die and forget it all.
That's about how it works.
It is. Well, you know, we have our ups and downs. We have our backwards and forwards, two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. But regardless of these governments that we have, they come and go, but the nation will continue.
Well, I don't... The come and go part, I understand. But I think we are fast reaching a fulcrum at which we have to ask ourselves whether the nation will continue.
Well, that may be true.
Or whether it will continue in any form that would even remotely be recognizable by the men who framed the Constitution.
Well, I should have said in its present form, but or not present form, but in a better form, one that's a little more amenable and serving of the people than it has been in recent years. I know a lot of changes occurred since 2000, that's for sure.
And it seems like there's been no one willing to stand in the breach.
Well,
it just feels like that.
It can be very discouraging, that's for sure.
There was a time to stand in the breach on the Alito nomination. It seemed as though we were finally standing in the breach on this nomination. There was a breach to be stood in on the bankruptcy legislation, the rollback of the people's rights to file class actions in federal court. There were breaches to be stood in over habeas corpus and illegal wiretapping. And with the exception of the heroic actions of Senator Dodd and Senator Biden and Senator Wyden and a few others with regard to this latest telecom immunity, it seems no one is willing to stand in there. And I'm one of those kinds of idealists, Jim, who believes that sometimes you stand in the fight even if you know you're going to get licked. Because you can't face yourself the next day if you don't.
Well, that's true. But one thing to remember, as far as people are concerned, whether they're indispensable to their side or indispensable to your side, remember one thing, and it was also who once said, cemeteries are filled with these indispensable people.
It is all true. And I'm not looking for anyone to be indispensable.
Oh, I know.
I'm looking for somebody to do the job that needs doing in the moment when it needs done. And this idea that somehow by letting this unreconstructed racist onto the bench, that the Democrats think that they have reached some sort of entente with the Republican Party when a Democrat becomes president, it's just foolhardy, Jim. It's just foolhardy.
Well, I think you've seen by the Clinton administration just how powerless the president can be, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he sent hundreds of judicial nominations to the Congress that were stopped in their tracks for nothing other than political ideology.
Well, Clinton had a pretty good record with getting people to the bench, didn't he?
No. No. Countless judges were held up and stopped by the Republican Senate.
But I mean to lower courts.
No, that's what I mean, too. From the least district court judge to appeals court nominees. I think they gave him Ruth Bader Ginsburg because he made the mistake of appointing someone who was ancient in the first place. And they figured, you know, at best we'll have to put up with her for 10, 15, 20 years and then she'll be gone. You know, we still have to sit here, and I don't know if anybody thinks about it. I'm just enough of a geek that I do, Jim. We still have to sit here and shiver like a dog passing a peach pit, hoping to God that nobody on our side dies on the Supreme Court in the next year. Because then you really can stick a fork in us and turn us over, because we'll be done. If George Bush gets one more appointment, we're done. And there's nobody in the Senate with the guts to stand up and say, George Bush appoints no more judges. Because what it says in the Constitution, Jim, is advise and consent. And we need somebody to stand up on the floor of the Senate and say, the Senate is called upon for its advice, George, and here is our advice. You don't get to appoint any more judges. Because God knows the Republicans were willing to allow the entire Article 3 judicial branch of the government to collapse upon itself for lack of jurists on the bench. And it was all done in anticipation of a Republican president who could then foist a gang of fascists upon us. And guess what? They got their way.
I must say, we have definitely traveled a long distance since John Marshall and Marbury versus Madison, and well, the right of judicial review as applied in the correct sense. So, I don't know. I don't have any answers for that, and don't know what will happen. I don't know what Bush's chances are to appoint another jurist to that august body.
Well, you're a praying man. Pray for our side every day.
Well, I think so.
Because after all, on the other side, you've got the likes of that hateful, stringy-haired woman who wants to perfect the Jews, who has suggested that we should slip some cyanide into one Supreme Court justice's creme brulee, she said.
Well, who said this?
Ann Coulter.
Oh, well, good Lord, that one.
Yeah.
He is, for lack of better terms, in my opinion, a eugenic disaster. I think Dr. Mengele probably had something to do with her DNA, and probably had some hand in her birth. I don't know.
Don't say hand and birth in the same sentence. That's just icky, Jim.
What are you talking about now?
I said don't say his hand in her birth. In the same sentence. It's just... Ugh.
Well, I mean...
Gives me the fan tods.
I mean, she just reminds me of that... You remember that movie, The Boys from Brazil?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think Ann Coulter may be one of the girls from Brazil, to tell you the truth.
Hey, Jim, I've got a couple of blinking lights here. I'll roll on, but thank you for your thoughts. I do appreciate it.
Most welcome. Good night, sir.
Bye now. And onward and upward. Hey, who have I got?
This is Kate.
Hey, Kate, how are you, dear?
Happy anniversary to us all, huh?
Yeah, to us all, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to respond to something you said earlier, that when you and Kevin were talking about, or somebody, about they all have to die, we just wait on them to die. Well, they did die, and they've hatched a new batch, and they're all over.
That was my point. We, you know, sometimes you have to wait for generations to move along, but that generation moved along. The Lester Maddoxes and George Wallaces are dead.
Thank goodness.
And they, but they've been replaced by their evil progeny.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And it not only doesn't look any better down in here in Dixie for the blacks, but queers ain't got it too good either. It's
well, no, and that's hurt. Well, that was the other side of the hateful little coin that is Leslie Southwick, and I tried to make
mm-hmm.
that apparent. Taking away a child from a woman as a means of punishing her for being gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a sick, sick, evil man.
Yeah.
I mean, little children should cross the street when they see him coming.
Yeah, for sure. Yesterday, someday, well, I don't know, when the fire started in, and I started listening to, I'm in California, and I started listening to the reports about where they were and how far apart they were, and, like, my first, very first response was, oh, my God, who started these? And then I went on the net, on the web, and started looking around, and it's my assumption that one of the main fires started down around where Blackwater wanted to put in their training camp, and then later today I heard that it sounded to me like somebody was assassinated down there in their car. Their car was set on fire, and they shot the guy, and evidently he was supposed to be running away from, you know, whatever. This is really spooky stuff, really spooky stuff. And my feeling is, all day long I've had this feeling of something bigger is going on, and we're being kept from it by, I turned on a television today, oh my God, and now I unplugged it, now I know why I don't watch TV, but the mess down there is so like, unlike Katrina, that I couldn't even watch it. I just sat here and cried, thought, yeah. Well, anyway. So anyway, I wanted to know if other people are starting to feel this sense of impending, oh my God, something's going on. I don't know whether it's cosmic or solar or political or cultural or something big is just hanging out there waiting.
I wake up with that feeling, Kate, and I go to sleep with it every day.
Every day I have it. Every day. And I think I'm crazy until I listen to Malloy and people calling in there, and I get this sense that everybody's kind of having that same feeling. People on Coast to Coast, people on all American Trucker Network, Trucker, you know, that trucking show on 700. It's all over. It's everywhere. But people are glued to CNN, watching what a good job FEMA are doing, and how happy the little kids are that they've got finger paints, and how they've got deaf interpreters, they've got Spanish interpreters. Oh, Jesus! I just sat here and cried.
The one that just went right under my fingernails like bamboo, Kate, was the report, and I can't remember if it was CNN or Fox, where someone, or maybe it was another network. I'm just, you know, don't hold me to it. But there was this report about, you know, the emergency response here in San Diego is just so amazing. It's, you know, they're doing a lovely job. Do you know that they've got magicians here in Qualcomm Park? You know, they couldn't get any why were there no magicians for the children in the Superdome?
Oh God. Oh God. I don't know. Something is hanging out there. Something bigger.
But this isn't, but by the same token, Kate, this isn't a competition between who's got more horror.
No, it isn't.
The hell that they're going through in Southern California right now.
Oh yeah, it's awful. I mean, there's no words for it. But to think that it was maybe started down around, I don't remember the name of the town down on the border, and that somebody was assassinated today at their car, or whenever that was. I don't know. It's just, the dots are all just so, there are just so many dots to connect that it's spooky stuff, and sometimes I hate going to bed because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something, you know. God. So, anyway, I just wanted to, another thing I have, another little horror that I have every once in a while, I wake up with it thinking that if we don't get the bills paid at the horn, we're just going to wake up to silence someday. And if everybody in the chat room or everybody listening today would just celebrate the anniversary by sending in $5 or $10 just tonight and see what we could do and how much closer we could get to the goal, because I'm just terrified that we're going to wake up in silence someday.
Well, we're still every bit of $500 away from the October goal of 2,000. We're still in a $1,000 hole from September. And while I have said that I will be here until they come and turn the lights out and take the bulbs away, and that is that's absolutely true, it is now listener-supported radio. And, you know, I hate seeing, I mean, we're officially 1 week from the end of the month, and, you know, again, I'm like that proverbial dog passing a peach pit every month.
Right.
Waiting to see if I get to do it for another one.
Yeah, and maybe it's none of my business, but when I start waking up worrying about this every single morning, I wake up thinking, oh, God, we've got to get to the top. We've got to get it. We've got to get it. The trucks are going to come and haul away the equipment. God. But the silence, the screaming silence just frightens me. I just think, God, if we lose this voice, we're toast. We're absolutely toast. Because Randy, well, never mind. I don't get into other people's business.
No, say what you want to say. I mean, I don't care.
Well, I'm getting the feeling I don't even enjoy the old Air America people anymore, because I feel like they're sliding in some direction that just makes my teeth hurt. You know, I don't know. They're too cheerful. The way you described having politicians on being your best friend. I mean, they got too many best friends, and I'm feeling it all over the dial. And so. I just think if we go silent here, we're toast. You know, where do we go? But when chaos is self-regulating, maybe it needs to all fall apart so we can start all over again. Oh, well.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I can start this all over again, frankly, Kate.
No, I meant in more of a cosmic.
No, I know you did, but you know, and this is not the grim part of the program either. We're just dealing with facts, okay? Because this is fact-based radio,
right?
With a little dose of occasional rank emotionalism, such as I've permitted myself this evening.
and I'm glad. I'm so glad to hear anybody but me knows about Miles Horton and the Highlander School. That would be the place to start over. Is just start teaching people what they need to know. You know.
Yeah.
And,
of course, I don't know. To be honest, Kate, I don't know if the Highland School could exist in America in the first decade of the 21st century. They'd be so up to their eyeballs in the Homeland Security and anti-subversive. Every third person in there would probably be a federal plant, or we've got one listener who calls them goons, and that's just the reality.
Well, they burned Miles out twice or three times. He finally had to just, like, go away because he was not effective anymore, because they had to keep moving the school. They burned him down many, many times. So, sad story. I don't know. I have no answers. I just have a whole bunch of...
I don't know that any of us have any, Kate. All I know is we can be here and we can commiserate and we can seek answers. We can seek common ground. We can dialogue, we can discuss, and maybe by that process come up with the occasional answer or two. And when people are on the verge of throwing their hands in the air and screw it, you know, I'm done, maybe just provide enough support that we stay together in the fight for another day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This really is one day at a time kind of stuff, Kate.
Oh, no kidding. We're standing at the bottom of a hill, and there's a great big old truck coming down the hill with the engine turned off and totally out of control, and it's going to run right over the top of us if we're not paying attention. So it ain't even about the light at the end of the tunnel with the train coming at us anymore. That was Dagny Taggart's business. Not... Never mind. Okay, I'm out of here.
Stop it.
I've done it. I had to throw an Ayn Rand in there, huh?
I mean, there's
my lady.
I understand, but, you know, there are limits. There are limits, Kate.
You just hit the dump button, and I'm out of here, huh? Thanks for taking my call, Bob.
Oh, thanks for making the call, Kate.
Later.
Bye now. Thanks, Kate. We really appreciate it. I said that there are stories that dovetail with the inherent racism of this vile lizard man, Leslie Southwick. And yea, verily, there is. Subject-verb agreement, you pick. And it has to do with something that happened yesterday. Yesterday, this is an object lesson in the extent to which the Republicans will go to stifle discussion and dialogue and to try to intimidate our side. Yesterday at the Capitol, there were a number of Democrats who had planned to hold a press conference. At this press conference, they were going to promote something called the DREAM Act. And that has to do with educational opportunities. The press conference was to feature three individuals, three college students, who have a right to be here, whose parents had come to the United States illegally. This press conference in the Capitol was all set, ready to go, and then it was called off. Peremptorily, precipitously. It was called off because another vile lizard man by the name of Congressman Tom Tancredo called out the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, the ICE men, and demanded that they arrest the three students. What he said was as follows. I call on the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to detain any illegal aliens at this press conference. Just because these illegal aliens are being used for political gain doesn't mean they get immunity from the law. If we can't enforce our laws inside the building where American laws are made, where can we enforce them? And like ice in spring, the Democrats melted away. I yearn for a day of political courage. I yearn for a day when those Democrats at that press conference would respond by saying, "Here we stand," like the Minutemen of old, not like some fat, pustle-gutted, doughy-faced, pale white goons sitting on the border hoping to shoot 'em a Mexican. Not those minute men, but like the minute men of old. Here we stand. Here we stand with people who want to talk about this piece of proposed legislation. and we stand with them, and we stand before them. And you, by God, Tom Tancredo, if you have the guts to make a statement like that, you come take these students themselves, you filthy, stinking, yellow-bellied coward. You'll get to these students only through us. You will have to detain us. You will have to arrest us. You will have to kill us to get to these students. Tom Tancredo was nowhere to be seen, of course, because Tom Tancredo is a yellow-bellied, miserable coward. That's why he's a Republican. Tom Tancredo, who proudly says, "Well, yeah, I'm as children, my grandparents were immigrants, but they come here legally." Tom Tancredo's grandparents came to America at a time when America's Industrial Revolution was willing to accept virtually any human being that could come and be a slave to it. My forebears came here legally. They came here under no different circumstances than immigrants come here now, and that is to work and be used by interests far more moneyed and far more influential than they. Tom Tancredo's grandparents may have scrubbed toilets or picked lettuce, taken in ironing. But you see, in Tom Tancredo's place, that makes him, that gives him the cachet of having come up from poverty. Oh, we raised ourselves by our own bootstraps. You know, that's what you call climbing the ladder of success and stomping the hands of the people climbing behind you. One of those students was a young lady by the name of Tan Tram. Some while back, Tan Tram, a 24-year-old college graduate, spoke out on the pages of USA Today about her immigration plight. For her troubles, ICE men arrested her entire family, including her father. Her father is a Vietnamese man who was once confined to a re-education camp in Vietnam because of his anti-communist activities. The raid came in the hours before dawn. Where have we heard about that kind of behavior before? Tan Tram's family was targeted by the ICE men because she had testified before a subcommittee chaired by California Democrat Zoe Lofgren in support of the DREAM Act that would help educationally the children of illegal immigrants. Kelly Nantel is a spokeswoman for the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. She's an ICE woman. And she's one of those people that you know is very, very well paid, and you wonder how she manages to get into her high-quality pumps every morning to go to work. How she can look in a mirror to put her expensive department store makeup on
And she said, absolutely, unequivocally, that her testimony had nothing to do
with the ICE raid. The Tron family is being shipped to Germany because they had once lived there for a time. Tough night, huh? Tough night. Then there's a photograph. A little photograph that came out today. It was featured in the New York Times. And if you want to see it, the best place to go and have a look is BartCop.com. It's on his latest page. Just load the page and roll down a little ways. And you'll see a photograph that appears to be a picture of Pickles Bush sitting next to Cousin It. Oh yeah, that's really insensitive on my part. Look, I'm talking about a photograph on the radio. It's dancing about architecture in the first place, okay? It is, or purports to be, a photograph of Pickles Bush sitting in front of a pink satin curtain on a little divan next to what one has to assume to be the person identified in the caption, a woman from the Middle East who has survived breast cancer. You can see nothing but the very tips of her hands sticking out from under her damned burqa. Pickles is on a goodwill tour of the Middle East to promote breast cancer awareness. And this photograph, I saw it there at BartCop.com, and just, it, you know, it was one of those Macaulay Culkin with the aftershave in front of the mirror and both hands on his face. Ha! You know, one of those. Because Pickles is sitting there with that sort of plastered on, chemically induced smiles next to this pathetic woman who is so to be despised that she can barely show her hands in public. And she is, and I guess the most pitiful part of it all, in a way, is that pinned to her damned black burqa is a little pink breast cancer awareness ribbon. And again, it's prayer meeting, so let me reiterate, I don't care what people believe. Your business. Welcome to the First Amendment. The First Amendment is nothing more than a life support for the religion industry anymore anyway. But she looks like a lump covered in black cloth. And it's so sad. And you know, that burqa is there to keep anyone from seeing her, because, you know, she's a second-class, hell, she's not a second-class citizen. She doesn't deserve the same regard as a freaking camel in her home country. And she survived, for the time being, breast cancer. Along with the story, something like 60 to 70% of breast cancers in women in Muslim countries are only discovered late in the game. So breast cancer is still a horrific, horrific, more than usual killer in that part of the world. But that's okay, because, you know, that is the curse of being a woman in the eyes of Allah. And, of course, she's not allowed to be seen by a male, so that sort of means that she probably can't get adequate medical treatment because, you know, if women can't be doctors, women can't be diagnosing women in those benighted countries, can they? And hence the incredible mortality rate from breast cancer, a disease that in the civilized world is being beaten back because of our awareness and because women have been taught by previous generations of women not to be ashamed of their own bodies, not to see their bodies as something filthy, not to see their bodies as something dirty, but to glory in them. But not in that godforsaken, benighted place that Pickles Bush gave her tacit approval to in that photograph. Had that ignorant, stupid little dimebag Laura lady had the courage of an Eleanor Roosevelt or a Jackie Kennedy or a Hillary Clinton, she would have said, I will be happy to have all the photographs taken you want to take, but I will not sit here and watch a woman oppressed and be used to further that oppression. I'd be curious. Go and look at that photograph over at bartcop.com today. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't want to seem bigoted against Islam, but I am very much opposed to the degradation of an entire one-half or more of society in the name of religion, in the name of popsicle sticks, in the name of science, in the name of tradition, in the name of culture. Because any culture that does such a thing is invalid. Barbaric. Yeah, I'll say it. Barbaric. Making a woman spend her days in a beekeeper suit is barbaric. And I don't care what anybody else says. I'm committed to that position. Holding forth that a woman is a dirty thing is barbaric. It just is. Go look at the photograph. Tell me that I'm wrong. Hey, who have I got?
You've got Michelle out here in smoky Southern California.
You okay?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm close to Long Beach, closer to the coast, right? But all the smoke is just settled in my little valley area until we get some winds coming from the west.
Well, you know, our news ninja, Gene, posted a satellite photo of it, and it's just astonishing.
Yeah, the San Diego fiasco is just, and the way they're presenting it, you know, oh, look what they're doing in Qualcomm Stadium, you know.
Somebody and you know, the freaks in the news organizations are so bananas to get anything on the air that they possibly can, Michelle. I mentioned this in the chat room a couple of minutes ago. CNN got caught by a wise ass. He sent an email in saying that they had just escaped a wall of flame in their Hummer, thank God. And it was signed, "Hey, would a blow me?"
I missed that one.
Well, so did the producer at CNN.
Oh, you gotta love it. The twisted mentality that I like to be around. I'd like to be around that. Hey, on the picture, you know, the only thing with the burqa, man, she could be holding a knife underneath that. She could be flipping her off, you know. And if you look at Laura, her head's kind of leaning away from the woman.
Yeah, like
and she's curling
like a bobble like a bobblehead doll going around a curve.
Yeah.
Head kind of canted to one side.
Her toes, though. Look at her feet, you know, or her tendons on her toes are kind of tight in her shoes, and she, you know, she just looks like she's getting ready to fart. I mean, she's just.
Well, that's what she looks. That's what she looks like any time that the Xanax begins to wear off.
She's just so tense. She's probably got spastic colon. You know, I mean, can you imagine being married to, you know, Dingleberry Bush? Oh my God! But yeah, that's I don't know. I know some people that practice Islam. I know a young lady. She always has her hair. She has a scarf that she wears.
And yeah, the hijab.
Pardon?
The hijab.
Yeah, but it's the. I don't know. The burqa, I think that, you know, especially when dealing with the women. But this is the Saudi Arabia. This is Dubai, you know. This is, these are, they like perpetuating that extremist, you know, women have no rights. Although, didn't they get to vote? Something happened in Saudi Arabia that they allowed.
It's nothing you'd call democracy.
No, no, no. But, I have to say, this morning, back to the fire thing and the whole, you know, analogy. And, of course, there's people down in San Diego saying, and in Orange County saying, hey, we don't have anything. Where's the help? You know, and Arnold's like, oh, you didn't need it there. We identified that you didn't.
Help will be there when you are needing the help. We know when you're needing the help.
Yeah. Well, on the, like, KTLA, you guys probably can get that via cable. You know, KTLA is like the, it's like the slut of the news out here. Anyways, but what news isn't? they're like, well, let's not point any fingers. We can't be point, and then it just started rolling out of everybody's mouth again. You know, let's not rush to point any fingers at whose fault it is, and blah, blah, blah. And then I heard something about a reference to Katrina from one of the news broadcasters, and, well, they have to get, it was about the National Guard. The reason why they're bringing in the National Guard, Bob, is because of looting. You know, just like the looting that happened in Katrina, in Louisiana.
That oh, well, if there's loot, if there's a looting problem, happened. Don't be surprised when you see the little bear claw of Blackwater show up.
Yes. Well, you know, they got to take over that valley out there anyways. This might make it more possible. Burn up all the homes in that area. Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Oh, the whole thing is tragic, and you know, I don't know that that we necessarily judge it in different terms, because one is destruction by water and death by water, and another is death and destruction by fire. I hate that sort of, and I've seen it on message boards here and there, a sort of one-upsmanship.
Oh.
And it's just sickening. And the media contributes to it, of course.
I guess out here, the people, what I'm getting from my neighbors and those people that, you know, I talk with in the area and in San Diego, is mostly they're just trying to figure out what they're going to do, you know. But I don't, it is the media that's perpetuating a comparison. These people are just trying to figure out, I mean, it's like they're trying to make better what looked so bad, you know, what has it been, 2 years ago?
Well, I saw the front page of the L.A. Times today, Michelle. Here I go, talking about another picture, you know. I don't learn.
No, that's the visuals are quite appropriate.
And the houses that were, well, I mean, like there was a McMansion.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
A swimming pool, and it was still standing there in the far right of the photograph. And then everything beyond it was, it looked like houses not nearly as significant. And I think this was in Rancho Bernardo.
Oh, yeah.
And the houses looked like what's left over when you just set fire to a piece of rolling paper.
Right, right.
I mean, these... I don't know of any houses that could withstand fires like that. But, you know, these things... It looks like these things were thrown up overnight.
Well, that's
and they're on yards. I swear, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm looking at the photograph, and I don't think there's a lot there that's more than 50 feet wide.
I need to just go around and take some pictures of these new home sites for you. That's what.
And I know full well what those. I mean, I can guess what those homes sold for.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't get $100,000 for one of those homes in West Virginia. They probably sold for $500,000 apiece out there.
Well, exactly. And what's so sad, Bob, is what you'll hear later on is all that urban sprawl. They didn't plan for what they needed to, and that is the water, the access, let alone the firefighting services. I mean, we've been, since 3-4 years ago, we've been complaining about we've lost so much in federal monies, and then the state has pulled out. You know, they talk about contracting out the big airplanes that come in. What are those?
C-130s.
The water, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Sure.
Well, we contract those out, you know, everything's contracted. Well, the reason why we do is because we can't afford it, you know. We can't afford to keep what we need for this state. And that happened in 2003 in the fires up in the mountains, just where you'd seen already they were having fires again up in Big Bear in that area. But this San Diego thing... I think it's not going to be as nice once the people start talking, you know, and realizing and going back and the devastation. And we all know the insurance companies are going to wiggle their way out of it some way.
They have an entire army of lawyers who get up every morning and, like some sort of religious mantra, sit staring at their navels and chant, "We don't pay. We don't pay. We don't pay. We don't pay." Hey, Michelle, I got to roll along. I've got some blinking lights here. I don't know if there's anybody behind them, but I'm running out of time.
Go right ahead. Take
Thank
care.
You, dear. Stay safe, please.
I will.
Keep in touch. We worry.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And let's see. Are you somebody? It looks like you are. Hey, who have I got?
You got me, man.
Hey, Wayne, what's going on, brother?
Oh, same old, same old.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Huh?
Happy birthday.
What do you mean, happy birthday?
No,
same old.
No, you didn't get the email. Yeah, I'm brokenhearted, man. You don't know? This is our second anniversary.
I know that. I heard you talk about the happy birthday. Okay, so I'm sorry. I didn't relate. I'm not in the greatest of moods.
What's wrong? Why not?
Okay, you know. I want to, and I always hoped I would never have to do this. But, you know, I want to appeal to the people out there, and, you know, if somebody's new and doesn't know who I am, you know, I am a partner in this business. And the truth is I have tens of thousands of dollars of my own money invested in this.
Yes.
You, Agnes, John, Joe, Peter, Guy, don't let me forget anybody here. All our news ninjas, all our...
chat room moderators, yeah.
Have tens of thousands of hours of unpaid work that, if we were paying, would cost millions. And, you know, what we need is people to donate some money to keep the bills paid. People will continue to work for free. You know, I was in Charleston today, buddy, and I checked the account. Well, I put $55 from donations.
Yeah.
That brings our balance up to $109.
Oopsie.
Right. And, you know,
Yeah, that's the downtown bank account. That's the stuff that comes in through the mails to the mailbox there in Beckley.
That's our Union Credit Union checking account.
Right.
The only one we have.
Right.
The only one we have. And I want to thank all the people that contribute. I mean, we have people that have sent us $1,000. We have people that send us $40 a week. We have people that send us $100 a week. We got a guy sends us not a week, every other week or so.
10,
we got a guy
20,
that sends
yeah.
us $5 a week, and one of his checks that's written can do without popcorn this week.
Jesus.
Admirable man. I don't want to mention names.
But it's an awesome responsibility that we shoulder because of the sacrifices of folks who contribute. We don't use the word donate anymore. Contribute.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the... And I don't mean any thing to anybody else, but that $5 check...
Yeah.
Well, it freaks you out.
Well, it all puts a stone in my throat, Wayne. It all chokes me up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, like, you know, if 100 people did that every week, we could pay the bills.
Yeah.
You know? Now, we still need more money than that because some, you know, I really believe in paying people.
Well, yeah, not just that. And you know, look, we lost, we melted down a computer this week.
Right.
And, we've got a stopgap running right now. But, you know, sooner or later, I'm going to have to sit down and build another one.
The people out there that are listening, I mean, when you listen to this show, I don't care if it's on an iPod the next day or downloaded or whatever, live or whatever. You know, think of the content of this show. Think of the truth that is brought out in not just this show, but all the shows.
Yeah.
You know, there is no better quality radio anywhere. I don't care anywhere than this network.
And no, there's
we
not.
Need your support. You know, I feel like I'm who's them people that always do the fund drives, public broadcasting, or whatever.
NPR. Yeah.
Yeah, I sent them $80 once, and I never got my tape about the mountains and stuff. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
No, but
anyway, I don't know. I feel bad about. But it has to be addressed because, well, without some contributions, we can't continue. It's just that simple.
No, I've explained that September ended in a $1,000 hole, and that we are a good $500 from our goal for October.
Yeah,
and then I got to turn around and start talking about this stuff all over again in November.
Yeah, and that doesn't count the $2,000 or $3,000 we owe our last provider.
Yeah.
Let me tell it like it is, man. I don't know.
Our backup internet is turned off right now.
Yes, it is. Because we can't pay the bill. And the most important one is the one that we're operating on now.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough money to pay that.
And that'll come due November 10th.
November 10th. It's due. So, anyway, like I say, it's not a pleasant subject, but I feel it's one that had to be discussed.
Well, it absolutely had to be. It absolutely had to be.
Yeah, it did. So, and I honestly and truly believe we're going to make it. I really do. But, you know, people have to, it's just like the strike and the things that I'm involved in here. You got to start standing up. We need to know the truth. We have to be able to put the truth out there. And, you know, if you can afford to send $5 a week and there's 100 of you or 200 of you, we can operate pretty good.
Well, that's true. We know what the numbers are. We know what our listenership is, both recorded and live. And frankly, right now, a group of between 25 and 50 people out of about 20,000 a day are keeping this network on the air.
Yeah, that's exactly exactly right.
That's what it boils down to.
That's what it boils down to. And, you know, if the burden is shared, it is lighter on everyone.
That is ever so true.
Yes, it is.
Wayne, I hate to say it, but we have crossed over the top of the hour.
I kind of knew that was going to happen.
All right.
Okay, brother.
Talk to you later, brother.
All right, man, I'll talk to you.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, yeah, happy anniversary, man. I'm sorry, birthday. You said birthday.
Yeah, it's our birthday. This is, you know, we we're 2 years old, and we're like Gunny Bob said earlier.
Anniversary is
I like birthday
okay,
simply.
Well, okay, it's our anniversary for Head On Radio Network.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been doing this longer, but the network itself.
Okay, I'm gonna. Here's my line. I'm coming up with our real birthday is the day you went on WNR.
Yeah, that's February 2nd.
I mean, I know that's a terrible birthday. Yeah, but that's 4 years, right? Or three?
Well, in February it'll be 4 years.
That you first got on there.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I made you run over anyway, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, pal.
All right, later.
All right, brother. Bye.
Bye. All right, so we're out of time. I'm going to go straight to the news. Our good friend Peter Godbold is a rerun tonight. But stick around after that for the Cup of Joe Late Night Cup with our good friend Joe Vecchio coming your way at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks, everybody. And on this night of all nights, Gina, it's all for you. It really, really is. Later, y'all.
They've already been sentenced to life in prison. One has appealed his death sentence. Dallas prosecutors say they'll retry the Islamic charity accused of illegally funneling $12 million to Hamas. An informant has told the FBI that in 1986, when Rudy Giuliani was the New York City U.S. attorney, he was targeted.